so that we can leave here today with a deep, holistic sense of life ringing through us. It comes to me to flow now the totality of life, of the characteristics of life, to let them unfurl for us one upon the other, so that we can have that ringing through us as we move out into the rest of our life experience, thereby I will at this point flow what might be considered a law of interdependence between the absolute and relative sense of life through the sevenfold nature of life. Life is reaching deep into the well of its being, gathering forth all that it is, lifting it to the surface of its attention, lifting all that it is and the new revelation of that which it is to the surface of its attention, where it can give it expression throughout the entirety of its being. It is reaching deep within itself, conceptualizing about that which it is, reaching into the mind of its being, the mind of its life, reaching into the deep essence of the fundamental building blocks of its being, enabling them to express anew. It is activating the causal law of its being, enabling itself to bring forth that which is new, to cause something to come into being, to cause its expression to be new, to cause that which all of us are to be new. It is tapping into its being, tapping into the primordial sense of its being, where it is creating new life, creating itself anew, creating us anew, creating new life. It is taking that program that it has underwritten within its being, that program that is like unto itself, that which programs the entirety of its expression, and it is remodulating that program. It is causing it to continually be creative. For life is ever creative, ever creating within itself. Thereby, it is never old, it is never static. It is always causing itself to bring forth in a brand new way. Thereby, it is bringing forth all that exists in a brand new way, bringing forth all of us in a brand new way, bringing forth that which I am in a brand new way, right here, right now. It is doing that. And in so doing, in so activating the generating capacity that ever exists within itself, it is enabling that which it is, that which exists, to be fresh, to be vital, to be new. It is tapping into the deep spirit of its being, enabling that spirit to develop that which it has conceptualized, enabling that deep sense of spirit to focus upon and give its attention to that which it has conceived, that which it has brought forth from the creative essence of the well of its being. So life itself is able to focus in upon that new creation and bring it into the forefront of its attention. Let it have substance. Let it have birth. It is bringing the new to birth, developing that within itself, within its expression, within that which you are, that which I am. It is continually enabling that which it is creating to develop within us, to ring within us, to give birth within us. So new life is always coming to birth within us. Life itself is guaranteeing this birth within us, this birth that is not into matter, but into spirit, from spirit to spirit, from life to life, from the spirit of life to the spirit of life. It is bringing that which it is ever creating into life, giving it life, developing that life. Giving it optimum focus. And that optimum focus within the expression, within that which we are, reflects as the optimum receptivity of our being, that which is on the focal point, that which is pure, that which is unadulterated, that which absolutely and totally and completely reflects life, and in so reflecting life must reflect that progressive capacity of life, must always reflect the new that life is bringing into birth. Therefore, that which I am, that which is truly ever in focus, is always bringing the new to birth within itself. Therefore, I cannot truly ever be out of focus, not truly ever have a dualistic sense about that which life is bringing to birth within me. That which is the true reality of my being can only and always be in focus and be pure and totally unadulterated, and in so being reflect life, reflect that newness of life, the nowness of life. That which I am is so completely in focus that it doesn't hang back at all into what might be considered past or time, and doesn't jump ahead into something imagined, some projection of its own imagination into a future that it has personally created. No. That which we are as the expression of life can only be complete and total, pure reflection of that which life is, and thereby must be in the timelessness of life, in the present with life. So that which is coming to birth within us is fully present within us and in full focus of our attention. And as such, it can never be a still birth, or an incomplete birth, or a birth that happens with difficulty. It cannot be a breach birth. It cannot be any form of misconceived birth, because we are in focus, and because the reality of spirit is the reality of the spirit of our life. I should have said the reality of the spirit of life is the reality of the spirit of our life. everything is in focus and everything is coming to birth perfectly. In the now, in the present. Absolutely nothing to impair the spiritual idea from coming to birth within us. And because life is soul, because it is spaceless, and here is everywhere, and everywhere is here, because it is a unified, non-local continuum, it brings forth the new everywhere in the continuum of its expression simultaneously. So it doesn't just bring forth the new in you or in me, but it brings forth the new in all of us, in the totality of everything that expresses its being simultaneously, instantaneously, everything in the field resounding with the new, adopting the new, in full resonance with the new. The entire field of life is resonating with that newness that it has conceived and that it has given birth to. The entire field is identifying the new life and identifying with the new life, absolutely present with the new life, the new sense of being. Thereby, that which we are, that which I am, that which can never be divided from this continuum, can never fall heir to the push and pull of space, to the push and pull of gravity and electromagnetism. It cannot, even if it believes that in some way it has been off the focal point and thereby has somehow created a localized field for itself rather than a non-localized field. In reality, this is not possible. Life as soul, the soul of life, guarantees the continuum of life and guarantees the spacelessness of life, guarantees thereby that that new life which is being identified as me, as you, as all, is being identified simultaneously as me, as you, as all. And thereby, we live in a field that it feels so secure, so safe, so blessed. A field in which we feel blessed. A field in which everything is unbounded, unlimited, uncompromised. We feel stable. We are living in that transcendent state of life, that stable, transcendent state of life in which life is identified in the here as well as the now. And it feels blissful. And we feel blissful. Absolutely identified with life. And that life that we're identified with is an incorporeal life, a life that is at equilibrium. And because it is at equilibrium, it is incorporeal because it picks up none of the false resonance that would be localized and have a sense of gravity and electromagnetism about it, that sense that would cause and create a corporeal sensation of life. No, no, no. Life as soul is guaranteeing that our life is incorporeal, and that our sense of life is spiritual, and that we are freed from any psychic, vibratory sense of life, that we are freed from any corporeal, physical sense of life, that we cannot be strangled or constricted by a corporeal or psychic sense of life. No, no, no. Life as soul is guaranteeing us that spiritually sensed, incorporeal sense of life, that boundless, limitless, free sense of our life, that blissful life. And for that, we can only be grateful and feel the touch of the stability of the soul of life, understanding via the principle of life that there is only one life, one omnipotent, all-powerful life, that there is only life, one principle of life, a principle that cannot be divided into lesser life principles, each claiming a domain over our life. No, no, no. There is truly, from the standpoint of life as principle, which is the only standpoint, there is only one principle of life, and that principle is at work in life, guaranteeing life, controlling life, regulating life, guaranteeing our life, controlling our life, regulating our life, taking all the burden upon its own shoulders. It has the power to bring forth and to create and to live life. And there is no other power that can have an effect upon life. And that life which it brings forth cannot be blown up or fragmented or multiplied into many forms of life. It has never gone through the experience of a Big Bang, that morphic experience that consciousness believes might have happened. But no, the reality of the situation is, from the standpoint of life as principle, which is the only standpoint, there has never been a blow up, there has never been fragmentation. There is only one life, not many lives, not many personal lives, not many separate lives, each living independently of the other. No, no, no. No life that can be a burden because I need to take care of my life or your life or someone else's life, or that someone needs to take care of someone else's life or my life. No. The principle of life is responsible for all life, and we can be comfortable allowing it to be responsible for all life, to work within us, to exemplify its force within us, to be so powerful that it impels everything we do in our life. It's not that we're going to stay still and be static and sit like a lump and let it do everything. We are the expression of the principle of that life, but we are undivided from that life. So as it impels activity, as it impels the input, process, output, feedback system of life, it automatically impels the input, process, output cybernetic system of our life. It impels our operative activity. And in so impelling, it makes the operation of that activity feel effortless to us. For as we reunite and find that connection that is inevitable that we have with life itself and that we have with the principle of life. It enforces itself to such a degree that it takes the effort out of life. Totally out of life. And enables us to experience the harmony of our existence. The harmony of our existence, because as we saw back in the soul of life, it's a unified continuum, a non-local unified continuum, and that now that we see in the principle of life, it is regulating that continuum, and in so regulating that continuum, it does it in a manner where everything is operating in unison with everything else, and therefore it is harmonious, totally and completely harmonious, and cannot be otherwise. For life and all that expresses life is indivisible. Indivisible. Just as that continuum is whole and identifies life all at once, spontaneously, the power that operates life operates the entire continuum of life. It operates subjective and the objectivity of life. It operates that which life is and that which is the expression of life, including that which appears as our life. So the principle of life is absolutely, irrevocably, and totally operating our life. And it is an absolute joy to let go to the principle of life and allow it to operate our life. I mean, it's doing it anyway. I know it's doing it anyway. I feel and sense that it's doing it anyway. And I can feel its energy surging within me right now, regulating even the words that I say, bringing power behind the words that it's revealing as me, as you, as all of us, because this is a collective experience that we're having, and life is revealing to all of its continuum simultaneously, including that which appears to be us here now. It is the only causative principle, and therefore there is nothing else that can cause anything to go on in our life. Nothing else that can cause anything to go on in our life. It supersedes any metaphysical principle. It supersedes any theoretical principle, any physics principle. It supersedes any other so-called principle. For in reality, it is the one and only principle. And the science of that principle is the only science that there truly is, and that obliterates any other science of life that we could even begin to believe could control our life. Honestly and deeply, there is only one science of life, and that science is the science of our life, and that science of life is what gives us the interpretation of life. And as we go out from that position of the science of life, it is giving us the right interpretation of life. The only interpretation of life that has true power and true effect. Thereby, in reality, we cannot misinterpret life. No matter how much we believe that we have misinterpreted life, or that we could misinterpret life, or that we could see life from a fragmented personal perspective, in reality, we cannot misinterpret life. Life is interpreting itself via its principle, and that principle is the principle of life, and it is omnipotent, all-powerful principle of life, and it is the only principle of life that there is, and the only thing that we need give credence to ever And we need to keep that warm in our being and to trust that. At times that seem that another principle's at work in our life, we need to trust that this almighty principle supersedes any misbegotten, misinformed misinterpretation of the principle of life that seems to be going on in our life. And we need to trust it, and we need to yield to it, and we need to give it the power to regulate our life. Because if we do yield to it and we do give it the power to regulate our life, it will regulate our life, because it is really honestly doing it anyway. And it is just we in our misunderstanding, in our misinterpretation, that seem to be putting a wedge in there and therefore not getting the full power that life is giving us. And it is giving us that power. And we're just about at the end of this tape, so we'll turn this, and on the other side we'll finish the life and the truth and the love of life.